Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You are listening to On God's Campus, Voices from the Queer Underground. I'm Crystal Cheatham, your host, alongside REAP's director, Aaron Green. REAP has been hosting private meetings and workshops with LGBTQ students around the U.S. These students are unique because they are living, working, and learning on the very non-affirming Christian campuses we speak of on this podcast. Today, we bring you Caitlin and Lily, two students at the University of Southern Virginia, and wow, are they going through it? Today you get to hear what their semester has been like, but first, here's a little story from Queer Hands of God. It can be complicated being queer on a non-affirming Christian campus. I know that, you know that, and I know that we spend a lot of time reporting on how schools are getting it wrong, but we have to remember that real students are having their real college experiences right now, while all of this is going on, which means they are experiencing many of their firsts. I mean, first time living alone, first beer, first kiss. That time deserves to be honored as well, especially because it's queer. And as this is our last podcast of 2024, and it's the Christmas season and everybody's going home, I want to leave you with something from one of my favorite books of short stories, and it's called Queer Hands of God. Luke writes, "In 2017, I was living in a dorm during my sophomore year at a Christian university. Life felt like an emotional roller coaster. I was clueless about what to believe in terms of my faith, and I didn't know how much longer I could keep secret about being gay. On the 3rd of September, I remember the exact day, I couldn't carry the weight any longer. I heard God impressing on my heart that I needed to confide in my resident director. Her response astonished me. She asked me, 'How can I love you best?' 2 weeks later, she introduced me to Adam, someone who was open about his bisexuality while still maintaining his faith in Jesus. He made time to connect with me and eventually introduced me to a supportive community of people with whom I could let my guard down and speak openly about my life, free of shame. Self-acceptance began to shine during a time which felt like a crisis." And now, Caitlin and Lily. Caitlin and Lily, welcome to On God's Campus. I'm so happy to have you here. For the record, what university are you guys at, and how affirming or non-affirming is it?
We're at Southern Virginia University, and it's kind of a struggle. not that we're being like actively repressed by the school, but there's not any kind of support coming from the school, so anything that we want to do falls entirely on us. And if we get backlash for it from other students, or from anyone really, then it's kind of our responsibility to just deal with it. So I mean, there's not active opposition, but there's also not really any kind of support, is what I would say.
And I'm like, for the, for the record, like for listeners, is Southern Virginia University a private Christian university?
It is, yeah.
Okay, cool. Because I think when, I mean, when I think of like Southern Virginia or Virginia in general, I think the biggest, school that people think about is Liberty University, but it's really good for like just folks who want to be supportive, that to know that there are other schools out there. So
So my first question for you is, did you were you out before you applied to the school?
I would say I was, yes. I was kind of forced out of the closet by my parents when I was about 16 years old, but I had gotten a lot more comfortable with that over the years, and I was out and proud when I decided to come here. Yeah, I have a very similar experience. Also did not intend to come out, but my parents are very much like to get into all my stuff, get into all my business, go through my belongings. So that was not, it was not fun, but I mean, now I've been, I mean, technically out for like 4 years, 3 years, I don't know. And I mean, it's been fine,
I mean,
aside from like comments here and there, I guess.
it sounds like being out allowed you two to find each other, so that's pretty cool. Did the school know you were out when you applied or when you showed up originally?
I don't think so. They didn't really ask, right? It's a with a campus that's so conservative, right? It's not something that people would assume or tend to ask. I had no inclinations of like hiding it for any reason, but it's not like anyone was asking me when we applied. Yeah, there's not really in the application questions much of like diversity screening questions aside from like maybe a race question. But there's not like there's no disability questions, there's no like LGBT questions. It's not really a big priority at this school to have any kind of diversity, and I feel like that really shows.
So already it's like a don't ask, don't tell situation where it's a
Yeah.
culture of silence around stuff.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it sounds like you two found each other and you started to create an LGBT group. Is that true?
Well, so we already had a Pride Club on campus, which had been going for a few years with many, many issues. Not from the club itself, but from the school. And so we were both kind of involved in that last year. We both kind of attended. We would just like talk to the club presidents and go to the activities and stuff. And I think I helped out with Rainbow Week a little bit last year when we had it. And
You have a rainbow week?
then, well, yeah, okay. Can I,
That's a
sorry.
story for
That's a
later.
story for later. It's going to be a very long tangent if I go into that right now.
Okay.
Yeah, but TLDR, our presidents last year got very burned out because of stuff that happened during Rainbow Week and after that and all kinds of stuff. So they both kind of stepped down. And we both really felt like there was a need for the club on campus. So we were like, well, I guess we'd better step up and take over it.
I'm sure that on a campus where there is this like culture of silence, that you would have some run-ins with admin. And so I'm curious what that relationship is like with administrators, with faculty, and if you have any stories behind that.
I'd say we actually have a pretty decent relationship, at least with the faculty that we interact with the most. There are at least like half a dozen professors who I know at least two of them are louder about their support,
And there's a few more who are like a little more like quietly supporting in the background. I've
Mm
never had any experience with like teachers being outwardly negative towards us, right? But I remember you had a situation with your one of your professors, right? When they were talking about church attendance.
Stop. Okay. One time I was in one of my classes, and it's more of a casual class. There's only a couple students, and it's like a physical activity kind of course. And so I was there, and I was chatting with my teacher, and I don't remember how, but we kind of got onto the topic of like temples, because that's a big thing in like the Mormon church. And one of my t he was talking, and he was like, yeah, well, when I was like a few years ago, which is probably actually like 15, 20 years, I knew this lady, and she like went crazy. She left the church and decided that she was a lesbian, and like, and I was like, do you know
Oh,
who you're talking
Lord.
to right now? Because I've also done both of those things, depending on how you why did he say decided? Like I was trying not to laugh actually. But it was
Wow.
still like, oh, I didn't realize that you were actually super homophobic and just didn't say anything about it. And then there's been other staff who have kind of revealed themselves in other ways. And I'm laughing right now, but I guess it's more of a coping mechanism. The last year there was again, not to bring this up again, but there were some incidents at Rainbow Week
What happened
regarding
at Rainbow Week? Like, I need to know.
Ugh.
Aaron,
We
do you need
okay,
to
that'll
know?
be a tangent.
Yes,
You want to talk about
I
that?
talk about it.
I am so like on the edge of my seat about Rainbow
Okay, you
Week.
gotta explain what it is first.
All right. So for our school, I remember when I was applying that the Pride Club at the school was heavily advertising their Rainbow Week, which is supposed to be like a week of celebration and inclusion where Pride Club members would be on campus, like on the quad, and they would have like activities like bracelet making and chalk, and they would like try to educate people and play games. And it just like all culminated, right, with everyone trying to like show their support and become like a loud, active voice on campus. And it would, from what I'd heard, it was like something that a lot of the queer students on campus, that was like a deciding factor for them to come to this school. So our first year here, they held a Rainbow Week back in like October of last year. And it was super fun. Everyone was super excited. I was glad to participate. I know that like they had options for like Pride Club members to sign up and like help with the booths and help with like running activities. And the main thing that we ended up doing before Rainbow Week got shut down was we were doing sidewalk chalk, like on the quad, right? We have a nice big pathway leading up to the dining hall, and we had a bunch of chalk, and we just let people come in and write inspiring messages or draw their flags, right? Just on the sidewalk for everyone to see. And I thought it was really beautiful. I think I still have pictures of that. And it was just, wonderful to see everyone just like coming together and like showing so much colorful support and love for each other. The next day, we woke up to find all of our sidewalk chalk power washed, which was really confusing
Dang.
for us. But it turns out they weren't power washing our pride stuff off the sidewalk. They were power washing a lot of hate speech that had been written down in the middle of the night.
Dang.
Right? So
No.
people had like taken time out of their own nights, gotten their own chalk, and wrote like homophobic slurs on the ground. They were quoting the Bible and the Book of Mormon in very homophobic ways. They were referencing General Conference talks, right? Which is how LDS people like gained their
Yeah.
like modern revelation, right? Modern scripture. And
Wow.
it was super terrible to hear, right? And anyone who did see it was likely deeply hurt by it. And then this didn't just happen once, right? It happened the next
No,
day too.
it
They power
happened
washed.
2 days in a row.
Yeah. And then administration basically came to the presidents at the time and were like, we can't really do this anymore. And they
So
opened up a
you
Title
guys
IX
got in trouble.
investigation because
Okay.
this constitutes
Yeah.
sexual harassment, right?
And then we were not allowed to meet openly on campus for the rest of the year, right?
They said it applied to like all of the clubs, right? Where it's like you need to be meeting in like a private location. You can't be using like main hall, right? And so it just kind of turned, it like really pushed our club underground for the most part.
Wow. So instead
And
of
it took.
protecting you, like instead of protecting you or protecting the fact that y'all were the ones who received, the backlash, the harassment, whatever, the slurs, the school decided to silence you as victims of that.
Yeah, and I guess what I was trying to say earlier about staff is after all that happened, so we have a weekly forum every Friday where everyone will go into like the auditorium and there'll be like speakers and stuff. At forum that week, there was a staff member, and I guess this was his attempt at addressing what had happened during Rainbow Week. It was a very, very poor attempt because what he ended up saying was not anything promoting like, oh, maybe like we need to actually start like loving people and seeing who they are. What he said was, when I was in college, I didn't really have any friends, but there was this one non-binary person. And
Their name was Jessica.
their name was Jessica, and then he says that, and then he prefers, and then he proceeds to use she her pronouns the rest of the speech, and is like, and basically, well, Jessica was nice to me, and
We should be nice
we
to
should be nice to
everyone, you know?
everyone, and that's all he
Wow.
said. He did not even make any kind of statement actually addressing what had happened. Or telling the rest of the student body what had happened that week, or anything like
Wow.
that.
So it's kind of
it was kind of
pitiful.
shocking at the time,
Yeah,
a
it was
little
really
bit
pathetic.
funny, but overall, it still was just kind of just another example of like the failing on the staff's part to help represent and address a lot of the issues that are going on.
You said that there was a Title IX complaint
There
made.
was, yes. That's the reason why our two previous presidency members decided to, leave the presidency, step down, besides the fact that one of them was graduating. They just, because they had spent all their energy going to all these meetings with our Title IX coordinator,
Oh
right? And there's not a
no.
lot of
Yeah.
information we know about that. It's a very private
Obviously.
thing.
Of course. Of
Aaron,
course.
I'm curious about what you think about all of this because you've done so much extensive work on campuses and around Title IX.
Yeah,
What's
I
your
have.
advice?
First of all, I know we're off camera right now, but y'all should see the look on my face when I'm hearing these stories. I mean, and I completely understand, because I lived it too. I just anecdotally, I went to Biola University first. I went there for similar reasons that y'all did, or that students at SVU have gone there for. They had an established queer underground group. And I wanted to go there because I knew I was going to be in the theology department, and that's what I wanted to do. So, but they asked me to take over when I got there, and I did that and led the movement, and experienced pretty much right off the bat from professors pretty overt aggressions during lectures. Like, for example, there was the first day, like the day the syllabus is handed out, I was in a hermeneutics class, and I think the first words that came out of this professor's mouth was that homosexuality was ruining America. And I sat there just like, what? What does this have to do with hermeneutics? Like, what does this have to do with just introducing the class to the syllabus and it was so out of left field. And I had other experiences like that. But I have, you know, a separate thought about Title IX, but there is a general, sometimes a separation between professors and what they're doing and their freedom and autonomy to teach, and then the administration and how they're controlling that. But anyway, I transferred to Azusa Pacific University, and most of my professors were affirming. So I had a completely different experience there with faculty. But still, like, I knew that students at places like Biola were going through these things. And yeah, so there's a lot to say about staff and administration and ways to navigate those situations. But like what Caitlin and Lily are describing is very common, unfortunately, just a general lack of awareness. And I think that I will say that I think and believe that that stems from not having a relationship with the LGBTQ community on campus or not having an interest in doing that at all. And like I taught a class, we taught a class at REAP just the other day about how to navigate discussions with administration. And one of the things that I said, like pretty much up front, is like you don't get to talk about other communities without that community present.
Yep.
You like if you're going to educate folks or talk to folks about queer people, you need to have a queer person in the room. They should be the one educating people on their c own community. And these schools just don't do that. They're trying to speak on your behalf, and that's not okay. So, but when it comes to Title IX, like, yeah, that's a scary thing too, because like you said, a lot of time was spent with the Title IX coordinator. And that is something that a lot of these students are unaware of, that they feel like they have to go to the Title IX coordinator, and they actually don't. And I actually would not recommend it. So if you had a Title IX complaint, a safe place that you could go, first of all, is here at REAP. But you can go directly to the government, to the Office of Civil Rights, and file the complaint with them. Because I guarantee you that the Title IX coordinator will always have a bias toward the school. And they
Yeah.
are hired by the school. So they're going to want to uphold and uplift the tenets and values of the school. And whether they think they're doing it or not, they're not necessarily protecting these students in the ways that they should as Title IX coordinators. So, anyway, that's, you know, I digress. But yeah, that was a lot.
Did any of that land for you guys?
Yeah, I actually didn't know that it was possible to go directly to anyone other than the Title IX coordinator. And I'm sure that that process would have been a lot easier if there had actually been people listening.
Yeah, and you, yeah. Oh, sorry,
Go
Crystal, but
ahead. No,
I
continue.
just want to say, like, a lot of schools won't tell you that. Like, they don't want, like, if they don't want you to file a Title IX complaint, A, it just it they have to it has to be investigated. All the things, all these things have to happen, and it's not a good thing whenever there's a Title IX complaint at any school. It doesn't matter if it's religious or not. But so that's why I always advise students, like, don't ever go to your Title IX coordinators. Go straight to us. And we can hook you up with the Office of Civil Rights, or go directly to the OCR website and you can file the complaint directly with them. And it's actually like you don't have to go through a middle person at all. Like you just file the complaint and you know, you're safe, you're protected, you don't get any eyes, school eyeballs on your complaint before it actually goes to the OCR. Because that's where it ends up anyway. So you might as well just send it directly there, you know?
Yeah, that's good to know. That's good information. Thank you.
Of course.
I wanted to go back to the other thing you were saying, Aaron, which was that, you don't want them speaking about LGBTQ people without queer people in the room. And Caitlin and Lily, your story about the faculty member, the speaker who mispronounced, misgendered Jessica the entire talk. I'm curious, like, what's the scenario? What would it have been like if that faculty member actually had come to speak to one of you about what to say during that event? What would have been an outcome that you could foresee, could have foreseen?
I mean, speaking out on an event like that, especially on a conservative campus, likely means there'd still be some backlash. But I think because this school has a very big culture of silence, it might have actually spurred a lot of support, at least from fellow students, right? I know a lot of people, especially in our generation, are leaning less conservatively, which is nice. And I just think about like any other microaggressions that we've seen on campus, and it's all just supported by the fact that people won't tell people to knock it off. Like we were running a club booth the other week, and someone had walked by and was pointing it laughing. And I was just thinking, if someone had just told him, "Hey, like don't do that, that's not cool," then would it stop, right? People only continue these microaggressions because they think it's something that other people are going to support. So if the school were to just come out and say, "Hey, we need to practice these Christ-like attributes that we talk about so much and tolerate other people and not even tolerate, like love them and show support to them," then I think we could have gotten a lot more support with it, and it wouldn't have pushed our club a little bit more underground.
I think what they were afraid of is ultimately making people uncomfortable. They like to be silent and take a very, they don't like to take any sided stance, and it's because they don't want to alienate the queer people, but they most especially don't want to alienate the homophobes. And I think what really needs to happen is that ultimately, like, not making a statement about it is going to help the homophobes. Right? Like, I think what needed to happen was they were going to need to say something that made people uncomfortable. They were going to need to say, "We have a serious problem on this campus. We need to address this, and we need to be more supportive, and we need to actually start taking a stand against this kind of behavior instead of just going, oh, it just happens and it's bad, and just be nice to people." And it just was a really pathetic response because it was not a response at all.
No, that
Yeah.
wasn't.
And it's like when you said like they're worried about making people feel uncomfortable, I find that to be so incredibly ironic from a religious standpoint. Like the key figure in the biblical text making people feel uncomfortable is Jesus. Because I really do believe this, that he stood up for certain values. And one of those core values, I think, from a biblical standpoint, is lifting up the marginalized, and LGBTQ people are marginalized. So it doesn't make it just like totally boggles my mind how these schools with religious tenets and values, with the Bible and whatever, like don't actually follow any of those ideologies at all. And it's about protecting their image and their own comfort. I don't think it's about like making other people feel uncomfortable. It seems like they don't want to feel uncomfortable.
I can't get behind this idea that equality for all means alienating a few. You're not asking for much. You are asking them to treat your club and your identity and you just as you they treat your straight counterparts and the Dungeons and Dragons club, or I don't know what other clubs there are, but they get treated with fairness. And when there's an aggression that happens against them, the folks that did it are usually held accountable. And I don't understand how that isn't how that is alien, if they did that for you, how that would be alienating other people. Because equality doesn't mean that you support something. It means that you are willing to do the bare minimum and be humane. Anyway,
That's real.
you guys, I'm curious about what your hopes are for 2025 as we step into the new year. You have a whole nother semester. What do you think? What do you want to happen?
I mean, as Pride Club president, my hope this semester is to become a lot more visual. We have these grand plans that I'm hoping to discuss with, fellow members of my presidency about doing another Rainbow Week, because we've started speaking to, right, our club's director, and we're hopefully setting up a meeting with the president of our school to kind of address what happened in the past and talk about how we can make this a safer experience. We want to do a lavender graduation, which they did a few years ago, and we have all supplies for, but no one's told us how it works, and we want to be able to support and show love to those people who are moving on this year. And we also had plans at some point for hopefully a dance.
I do still really, really want to hold a dance.
I love that.
With
Oh, like
all
a
of this
queer
stuff,
prom?
yeah.
That's so cool.
I say
Sorry.
Washington and Lee, which is a school that's really close by,
Does the LDS
did
Church allow
a
dancing?
There's
Good
like a
question.
bunch of from the time that you're 14, there's like a bunch of like there's a church dance every like m 2 months,
Once a month or
like once a
so,
month.
depending on where
Yeah,
you are.
That's very
it's
sweet.
pretty normal, and they'll even hold like I don't know what they call it anymore, because they're not calling it Mormon prom anymore.
I still call it Mormon
I
prom.
think everyone all it's still colloquially called Mormon prom, but it'll be like during prom season for high schoolers, and they'll hold their own little thing
I
also.
just asked because Seventh-day Adventists were never allowed to dance, and I wasn't allowed to go to any dances. So I'm a
Oh
little
no.
jealous.
Yeah,
Aaron.
no, culture, like dance is such a big part of like LDS culture, right? I don't know, it's very, I'm thinking like Utah of them, I feel like.
I mean, it doesn't mean
Yeah.
anyone's good at dancing,
That's
but
true.
they do like to
Yeah.
dance.
Oh God, yeah, I'm a terrible dancer and I blame it on my church. But it sounds like y'all have some great ideas for 2025, and you know that we at REAP want to support you in any way that we can. And I just want to thank you so much for coming onto the pod and talking about you the hardships that you've had. And I am so proud of you, and I'm excited about the things that you're going to do in 2025, because nothing's going to slow you down. And that's obvious. That's obvious. Just hearing the grit in your voice when you start to talk about what's going to happen in 2025, the excitement, Lily, in your voice when you're like, we're going to have a freaking dance. Like, I don't know. That stuff cheers me up. That stuff cheers me up.
Yeah, y'all are doing like really cool work, and even though you get sidetracked and pushed down by administration, keep going. Keep like yeah, I encourage you to keep it up, and like Crystal said, we want to support you and uplift you in any way that we can, and do this alongside you from wherever we're at. So,
Is
and yeah.
there any way that listeners can help you too?
I don't really think so.
Is that
I
do
would
you
just say,
is your group
honestly, I would just
online
say,
or yeah.
oh,
Oh,
we
sorry.
have an Instagram.
Yeah.
It's just Pride Club
Okay.
SVU.
Okay.
Yeah,
I don't know if I
follow
would say
Pride Club
anything. It's
SVU.
oh my goodness. No, what are you gonna
Yeah,
say? Honestly, if anything, keep being a voice on your own campus, right? Being quiet is not showing support. So, I don't know. It's like reach out to people who you know that are struggling, and do your best to support your local communities, because it truly is the web of the little smaller groups, right? Our little clubs all reaching out that really builds our community.
Yes, community
Yeah.
is everything. Thanks so much for joining us, y'all. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
There is no code switching around chosen family. They make us feel seen and safe. This giving season, make a gift for those students forming the chosen family that will keep them alive and thriving on some of the most non-affirming campuses in the United States. We have no idea what 2025 will bring, but that won't stop us from putting up a hedge of protection around the students that ask for our help. And so I ask you, will you be part of this change with us? Simply go to thereap.org and start your monthly pledge. Every little bit counts. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for tuning in. We at REAP wish you a very Merry Christmas and, of course, the happiest New Year. Love and light to you all.
Since 1981, Unbound is connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.